Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the Code Red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, of course, that is the classic clip from the Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson movie, A Few Good Men. And I don't mind telling you that is my favorite movie of all time, and that is my favorite movie scene of all time. It is so filled with emotion and passion, and what we're searching for on Stand in the Gap Today all the time is the truth. And with respect to what's taking place and has taken place starting last Sunday evening at 10:08 p.m. Pacific time in Las Vegas, Nevada, we're wanting to arrive at the truth. But here we are 5 days removed from the most horrific mass shooting in U.S. history. We know much more about the suspected shooter, but we virtually know nothing more about his motive, or do we? Well, yesterday, John Guandalo of Understanding the Threat was our guest, and he made a very palatable case for Stephen Paddix having had help with his involvement in that shooting, at least help from the standpoint of training, at least. But is there more, perhaps much more to all of this? Well, with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I am Dave Kistler, and I'm joined today by Dr. Gary Dahl, and we have our recurring guest, Attorney David New. It's appropriate that we listen to a courtroom clip there from A Few Good Men, because David New is our constitutional expert. We're going to be formally introducing him in just a few minutes. But, man, I want to lay out some very intriguing information, some of which came out only yesterday. In addition to reserving rooms at several other hotels other than the Mandalay Resort Hotel, and I'm talking about a hotel in Boston, Chicago, and another hotel in Vegas itself, both, in fact, all three of those were going to be near large outdoor music venues. We have 3 days ago, Eric Paddix rambling 34-minute diatribe while standing outside his home, in which he went out of his way to try to undercut the theory that his older brother Stephen had help in pulling off the attack. I want you to listen to some of the statements that the brother of Steve Paddix, Eric, made. He said, quote, "This is 100% Steve all by himself. People are saying, oh, he must have had help. Steve had no help. Steve didn't need help. Steve did not take help. It did not take a village for Steve. Steve was an arm." And then he stopped. Sounded like he was going to say the word, he was an army, perhaps even an army of one. But he caught himself and stopped abruptly. And then he said this, "I'm sorry. Please don't. I was about to use a collateral term that would besmudge one of the armed forces. Steve was a standalone guy. Steve, if you wanted to hang out with him, you hung out with Steve. But you had to understand that Steve was a little quirky," end quote. Friends, whatever it was that Eric Paddix was about to say about his brother Stephen, he caught himself, stopped cold mid-word. Why did he do that? Well, Eric Paddix also expounded on his brother's wealth. He said he was well-known at many of the hotels, notorious as a high-stakes gambler, and granted huge comps of free food and free rooms in exchange for his gambling habit. In fact, Eric went on and said this, "Someone has said Stephen transferred $100,000. We're wealthy people. $100,000 isn't that much money. I'm sorry if that hurts people or something. $100,000 isn't that huge amount of money. He gambled through that amount through a machine in hours," end quote. Well, let me ask a question. Where did all that money come from? We've heard that he was a real estate investor, possibly, that he had a career in real estate, but where are the names of his real estate companies? Where are the tenants? None of these have been named by anyone inside or outside law enforcement. And, of course, Eric Paddix said, you know, my brother was a private guy. That's why you can't find anything about him on Facebook. You can't find any pictures. He was private. Well, remember, this is the same Eric Paddix who one day earlier than that 34-minute diatribe said that his brother was not a gun guy, but that he only owned maybe a couple of weapons. So the question I have is this. Did Stephen Paddix live a secret life with unaccounted for wealth? Well, these are just some of the questions that there are at this point no answers that have been provided. by police investigators. And then one last thing I want to mention. We do now know, this came out in great detail yesterday, that he had a car filled with ammonium nitrate. It's called tannerite. I've actually shot at some of that. It's actually too substantive. When mixed together and placed in a container or a carton, you fire a 223 round or a 308 through it at a high velocity, and it causes that tannerite to explode. Well, he had 50 pounds of that in his car, and they're now surmising that perhaps his plan was to leave the Mandalay Bay hotel room where he was holed up after shooting 59 people, and then maybe try to perpetrate another act somewhere else. So all of this now has come out about this very bizarre individual. And Gary, I want to go to you. The plot is definitely thickening. It's becoming more bizarre with each passing day. And with the comment the other day by Police Chief Joe Lombardo about Paddock having possibly been radicalized, and that is the word that Joe Lombardo used, the police chief there in Las Vegas, it would suggest that he and the authorities know much, much more than they've been able to tell us. And then with John Guandalo's comments yesterday on the program about there being a very clear possible Islamic connection, all of this, Gary, seems to be going that direction. I'd love to have your thoughts.
Well, it seems as though that there is obviously much, much more information that they have than they've shared with us. And when I say they, I'm talking about the FBI or Sheriff Lombardo or whoever else the case may be. And obviously, they can't put out all of that information now, and we may never have all of the information. However, as it relates to the possibility of Stephen Paddock being radicalized, and I'm not an expert on this, but by virtue of the fact of what we talked about yesterday and some of the things that we've been able to discern, sort of reading between the lines, as it were, I would not doubt that he was radicalized. I would not doubt that he has some connection to ISIS. I would not doubt that there is a jihad connection here. And time is going to tell. I mean, as John Guandalo pointed out to us yesterday, Dave, all the pieces come together to make it look like that there is something more to it than what the eye is presenting at this particular point.
Well, Gary, one of the things that has been a big argument thrown up against the claim by ISIS themselves that he was one of their soldiers was the fact that they will frequently claim responsibility for things that they really had no involvement in. And yesterday, John Guandalo was crystal clear that that is not the case. There's been one incident where ISIS claimed responsibility for something, and that was initially debunked, but later proven to be true that ISIS did have a connection to that. So what Guandalo said is ISIS only claims responsibility or claims as their soldiers people who have indeed been involved in ISIS or Islamic ideologically related attacks. So friends, all of that is now out there. When we come back, we're going to welcome our special guest and dear friend, David New, constitutional attorney. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, and then we're going to transition into one of the biggest lies you have ever been told. That we're lied to a lot. Maybe we're being lied to now by some of the media, some of the law enforcement, but big lie about the Constitution. What's that all about? Stay with us. You're going to find out.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The Handy Guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, we welcome you back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler along with Gary Dolan. I want to welcome our special returning guest, Attorney David New, expert on all things constitutional. David, it is always a delight to have you on the program, and today certainly is no exception to that. Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today, my friend.
It's so nice to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you. And before we start bombarding you with questions or ask for your comments, even about this shooting incident in Las Vegas, Nevada, I want to go to Gary because Gary has a comment he wants to make specifically to you and to our listeners.
Yes, I do. And David, I want to make a public apology to all 3 or 4 million people that are listening to us today on over 450 stations in 37 states of the Union. I want to apologize for not having you on the program yesterday, which was your dated day to be with us. And I just got involved with putting things together that I completely forgot until you called into the program and said, here I am. And I said, oops. So I just want to publicly apologize, David, and ask if you'll forgive me for preempting you yesterday.
Absolutely. But I heard you had a wonderful, fascinating program. It was really good.
Well, we did have a program, but I want our people to know that you predate Stand in the Gap Today radio program because you were on with David Kistler and I when we had a radio program that was just on one market for many, many years called Freedom
Altoona.
Focus. Yes, sir, in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And you have stayed with us, and we appreciate it. We appreciate your insight. So I apologize. Thanks for putting up with me. Remember, I'm dull all the time.
It's actually, gentlemen, called Alzheimer's disease or the beginnings of it. And I'm
amen.
Having more struggle with that too, Gary. But it is a delight, David, to have you on. And we do apologize for preempting you yesterday. We were working through all of this with this shooting, and we had a chance to have John Guandalo on, and we were thinking that direction. But you were so gracious and so kind, as you always are, and said, hey, you could be on Friday, which we appreciate you clearing your schedule to be on with us today. David, yesterday you and I went back and forth just briefly on email, and you had some interesting comments. I don't know if you remember what you said in the email. If you don't, that's okay. But I want to get your take on this shooting out in Las Vegas. There's just, as we talked about in the first segment, there's a lot of unexplained questions. In fact, all kinds of questions, but very few answers that we are getting, we the American public, from law enforcement. I understand some of that, but this is as perplexing a scenario as anything I've seen. I'd love to have your thoughts on it.
It absolutely is. And this particular incident breaks the mold completely because it doesn't fit in any normal pattern. I don't know how this is going to eventually come out, but one thing that did strike me as extremely odd and absolutely weird is the behavior of this individual's brother, his brothers. They come out and they make these statements and they talk about their brother, and they've even come out with a cup of coffee in their hand to talk to the press. If somebody in my family had committed 58 murders and hundreds of people being wounded, the last thing I would be carrying a cup of coffee and holding a press conference. These people act, they show, there are no tears in their eyes. You don't hear any deep sorrow. You don't even sense any shame. I'm sure they don't like what their brother did, but yet you don't get that feeling of shame. Most families, when they find a loved one in their own family who's done something horrific, they are too shameful to come out themselves. And these brothers of his absolutely are, they're almost jovial in a mild sense of the word. And it's just strange. They're a strange group of people.
Well, you know, David, that is exactly what you emailed me yesterday, was precisely what you just said. The highly unusual, bizarre nature of these brothers coming out and just being almost arrogant in the way that they talked about their brother. They didn't have any remorse, no shame. And yet Marilou Danley, the girlfriend, as she is being called, when her sisters and her family spoke to the media, their faces were blocked out, where you could not see their faces, and I'm sure that was done for protection and security reasons, but also because of this shame element that you've referenced that the Paddock brothers seem to have none of. So all of this is bizarre, to say the least. And Gary, before we move on to some of the lies that we're being told, I want to go back to you. Of course, being a pastor, you've dealt with a lot of situations. You've dealt with tragedies where there's been loss of life. You have dealt with family members many, many times who have had loved ones maybe do something that could be very publicly embarrassing. This is bizarre behavior, to say the least. And David New, I think, is nailing it with respect to this.
Well, I think that there are three reasons why it's bizarre behavior on behalf of the family. You know, number one, they had a brother killed, okay? And that brings grief. Number two, the brother killed 58 other people. That brings grief. Number three, this whole thing is being portrayed not only across this nation, but around the world. That itself would bring great grief. And so what I'm talking about, you've got a triad there. You've got a trinity there. You've got a hat trick there, if you want to use it in sports terms, that would almost make you wonder why they don't look brokenhearted and, putting it this way, an emotional wreck. And so it's just hard to figure this out. Boy, that's why it's important that we strive for the truth in this matter, because there are so many unconnected dots as I see it.
If my brother did that, I would be interested in changing my name.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I'd give you a new name.
This is one of the things that I've not heard anyone, as far as my survey and perusal of the news, I have not seen anyone make the comments that you, David, have made, Gary, that you just so clearly laid out. Both of you are touching on something that is a normal response for someone who's had a family member killed, or a family member that's perpetrated a horrific act like this, and none of the traditional emotions, none of the traditional response, none of the expected response is present with this Paddock family. It is, to say the least, bizarre. Well, friends, we promise you this. We're going to stay on top of this, and we will bring you the latest information as we are able to get it and bring it to you in an unmitigated, unfiltered fashion, speaking the truth in love. I want to shift gears, and we have just a couple of minutes left in this segment, but David, you made a comment in email to me that I found to be very, very interesting. You talked about the fact that we've been lied to a lot and about a lot of things, but one of the things we've been lied to about is the United States Constitution, and I would love for you just to start the conversation here. We'll pick it up after the bottom of the hour break and continue, but start it for us if you would.
Ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who are interested in the Constitution of the United States, there are so many fascinating things to know about it. But today, at this moment, I want to ask you a question. What is the most important lie about the Constitution? What is the number one lie that you probably believe that is not true? What is the number one lie taught about the Constitution in most American law schools? What is the number one lie?
You want me to answer that?
The U.S. Supreme Court. What is the number one lie that the U.S. Supreme Court has told the American people about the Constitution? It is the most powerful lie, and it has dramatically changed America in a most profound way, and I'm not sure very many people know what that lie is, and I'm going to tell you what it is right now. The number one lie about the U.S. Constitution is that the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, apply to the states. That lie changed America in a way that it's unforeseeable. It is unforeseeable. For example, in 1940, in a case called Cantwell versus Connecticut, the United States Supreme Court claimed that from this point forward, in 1940, the religion clauses in the First Amendment, the Establishment Clause, and the Free Exercise Clause now apply to the states. That, my dear, was a lie. There's no nice way to put it. And now remember, I said it's a lie. I did not say they are liars. Those are two different statements. To say somebody you're telling a lie is not the same thing as saying you are a liar. A liar is somebody who is pathological and does it all the time. I'm saying that that statement is a lie, and it dramatically changed America, and all of it was for the worst.
David, let me ask you.
If you talk to most, all right, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in, but we've got just about 30 seconds till we're going to have to go into the break. You have set this up powerfully, my friend, and I know, at least I think I know, where you're going to go with this because of the wording of the First Amendment and the purpose of the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights to the Constitution. But let me ask you this. Just answer this, and then we'll delve. In fact, I tell you what, we'll delve into it when we come back from the break. Friends, you are going to hear after this very brief timeout why this lie perpetrated on our generation is doing irreparable damage. It's doing irreparable damage to the country. It's doing irreparable damage to the church. It's doing irreparable damage to individuals. What are we talking about? You're going to find out when we talk further with David New about this great lie told with respect to our Constitution. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Join us after this timeout for more of this insightful discussion.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. We're talking with attorney David New, constitutional expert. He is discussing the most powerful lie that has been advanced with regard to the Constitution. And we're going to come to that in just a second. Hold on to your seat, buckle yourself in. Before we go there, Gary, what we're going to be talking about momentarily is so critically important that our listeners need to not only know about that, but they also need to know about a way they can stay actively engaged with us here on the radio program. Share that very quickly, if you would, before we go back to David.
I will, Dave. In fact, I'll share two things. Number one, folks, if you don't have our app, I would encourage you to get it. And the way to do that would be to go to the App Store and type in Stand in the Gap. And you can do this on your iPhone or your Android, and it's free. And, of course, you type in Stand in the Gap and follow the directions, and there it is. And we would encourage you to get that app so that you can pick up the program wherever you go. But then the other thing is what we call Join by Text. And that is, if you would like to join our network and be alerted to upcoming events and promotions, and as a matter of fact, even what we're going to be doing on the upcoming radio program, as well as receive information about the American Pastors Network, all you need to do is text the word STAND, that's STAND, to 44144. That's STAND, STAND, to 44144. And when you do that, you will receive a text immediately that will ask for your email address. And then once you reply with your email, you will receive another immediate text reply with links to download the APN app from the Apple Store or from the Google Play. And once you download and open the app, there's a sign-up option at the top where you can sign in to receive our weekly updates. And so these are just ways that we invite you to communicate with us and us with you. And again, you just text in STAND, S-T-A-N-D, at 44144, Dave.
Gary, thank you so much. And friends, we want to encourage you to do this that Gary has admonished you to do, because this has been a powerful week of programming with respect to all that's going on in the United States of America. And the weeks upcoming, no doubt, will be the same. And we have a group of contributors here on Stand in the Gap today, David New being one of them, that provide powerful insight that you will get at no other news source. And so it's vitally important that you stay abreast of what's going on. You can get that information ahead of time so you can know so-and-so is going to be on the program this particular day. And then those alerts will come to you if you follow the advice Gary's given. We hope you will do that. Well, David, I want to go back to you. You're talking about the greatest lie ever perpetrated about the United States Constitution. I know where you're going to go. I can't wait for you to share this because it is powerful. Go ahead and pick up from there if you would. It has to do with the lie that the first 10 amendments apply to the states. Explain why that's not the case.
Most Americans are unaware that the Bill of Rights, for the first 150 years, in particular the First Amendment, rather, applied only to the federal government. And that was the way it was intended when it was written in 1789, ratified in 1791. That's how the Bill of Rights were intended to be, only to apply to the federal government. And a lot of people think that that was a mistake. They think that we have more freedom today because the Bill of Rights apply to the states, and that controls the states from abusing our rights. The framers of the Constitution would have said no way. It's the exact opposite. The reason why they limited the jurisdiction of the Bill of Rights to the federal government was so that of called local control. Each state can govern itself, free from interference by the federal government. So, before 1940, if somebody said, is it constitutional to post the Ten Commandments on government property? Before 1940, Americans would have gone to their state constitution to answer that question. Is it constitutional pray in a public school, vocally, an organized group? Before 1940, they would have gone to their state constitution and laws for the answer to that question. After 1940, everything changes. Now it becomes the First Amendment. Now, most lawyers like that idea. Let the First Amendment do it. But this is what they don't tell you. Most law professors like to have the First Amendment decide the issue. When the First Amendment does it, that means the U.S. Supreme Court does it. And that's what's wrong. What happened in 1940 in Cantwell versus Connecticut was that there was an enormous transfer of power from the states to Washington, D.C. Before 1940, the Supreme Court was just one of three branches of the federal government. After 1940, the Supreme Court becomes the giant 800-pound gorilla in the room. The Supreme Court, in terms of religion, has more power than the president and all 535 members of Congress. If we had all 535 members of Congress who wanted to speak in tongues in a public school, you couldn't do it. because the Supreme Court in 1940 stole that power from you. When the power left the states and went to Washington, it concentrated power in Washington, and you lose. Sucker. You Americans who think that was a great idea, you're making a big mistake. You have less freedom today than you had before this happened. That's why the Supreme Court did it, and they used the 14th Amendment to do it. Now, the 14th Amendment was ratified in 1868. Well, what happened between 1868 and 1940 with the First Amendment? Guess what happened? Nothing. There are about 30 cases that involve school prayer between 1868 and 1940. How many decided that issue on the basis of the First Amendment? Zero. When was the first time school prayer was decided based upon the First Amendment? Guess what, sweetheart? It's after 1940. It's in 1950. In a case of Arenas versus New Jersey. This is an enormous loss of power that we have experienced, and most lawyers, most law professors, most judges think it's a good thing. We have lost power. And the reason why the legal community likes it is because the more powerful the Supreme Court is, guess what? The more powerful the lawyer is. And that's why the legal community supports this lie.
Well, you know,
and it is a powerful lie.
Well, you know,
so powerful, ladies and gentlemen, it created a new constitution. You may think the United States has had two constitutions, the Articles of Confederation and the 1787 Constitution. That is incorrect. There is a third Constitution, and it's the 1868 Constitution. And in many, many, and in the most important ways, we don't live under the 1787 Constitution. We live under the 1868 Constitution when the 14th Amendment was ratified.
Well, let me jump in here just for a second, David, if you don't mind, because I think that it's important for you to go ahead and explain that, explain the difference as it relates to interpreting the law and so forth and so on from the 1787 Constitution to the 1868 Constitution. But this change that we are talking about, would you say that this was the beginning of where the Supreme Court justices began to legislate from the bench, not only
absolutely,
as it relates to the First Amendment, but other issues as well?
That is absolutely true. When we live under the 1868 Constitution, what does that mean? That means under the 1787 Constitution, the idea of abortion would have been left to the states according to the 10th Amendment. Under the 1868 Constitution, it belongs in Washington, D.C. with the U.S. Supreme Court. Under the 1787 Constitution, gay marriage could have never been legislated by the courts, but it can be under the 1868 Constitution. And when the United States picked Bush over Gore in the election, that would be totally impossible under the 1787 Constitution, but it became perfectly legal under the 1868. Actually, I shouldn't use the word legal because it's based upon a lie.
David, let me jump in and ask you.
That's how powerful this lie is. It created a third Constitution. It revolutionized America.
When you say a third Constitution, the 1868 Constitution versus the 1787, you're talking about with the advent of the 14th Amendment and the
interpretation of it creates
a whole new
the
viewing.
The 14th Amendment itself, the 14th Amendment itself is a good amendment. It is the corruption of the 14th Amendment.
Got it.
That created this third Constitution.
Well, friends, listen to me very carefully. When we come back from the break, the question that begs to be asked is, what do we do about this? Well, the first step is you got to know there's a problem. You've got to know that the Bill of Rights was designed to apply to the federal government. That's why the First Amendment begins with this statement, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. The states were not to be affected by that. So how do we How do we correct this now? That is the question we're going to answer in the final segment, our solution segment. Friends, please come back after this brief timeout with our guest, Attorney David New. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, you're listening to Attorney David New on Stand in the Gap Today. He is our constitutional expert, and the point he is making is a powerful one, and that is that in 1940, with the Cantwell versus Connecticut Supreme Court decision, that created a filter or a lens through which we now view the Constitution that was written in 1787 and ultimately finally ratified in 1789. In other words, we view the Constitution differently after 1940 and this Cantwell versus Connecticut decision than we did prior to 1940. And what David is saying is this: the Bill of Rights were not applicable to the states. They were applicable to the federal government only. How does that flesh out? Let me give an illustration, then I'm going to ask David what we can do to correct this. We've had this gentleman on our radio program before. His name is Coach Joe Kennedy from Bremerton High School. He was the one that took a knee at the end of football games, and of course that created an uproar, and he ultimately lost his job over that. Prior to 1940, that decision would have not gone anywhere other than to the state constitution of Washington to address that issue. Now, the federal government and the Supreme Court is delving into these issues, which is really none of their business. Now, David, we are here. We have the problem. The water's flowed over the dam up to this point. What do we do to reverse this incorrect understanding of the application of the Bill of Rights?
What the Supreme Court did is that they amended the Constitution by themselves. They're the only branch within the federal government that has the power, illegally, but has the power to do it. And they did it using the 14th Amendment. They have amended the Constitution. They rewrote the First Amendment. And now, instead of saying Congress, it now, on their copy, says Congress and no state. They added three words. There are 45 words in the First Amendment. The Supreme Court in 1940 amended the First Amendment. Most Americans do not know this, and added three words. and put in state. And that made, the reason why they did this is power. P-O-W-E-R. These people are power crazy. They don't even know how much power they have. They, all by themselves, nine people decide what marriage is. That is insane. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When the revolution occurred in 1776, they revolted against Great Britain for less abuse of power than what's going on today.
Precisely. Precisely.
There's no question about it. The reason why this goes on is because it's extremely popular. People think they gain power having the Bill of Rights applied to their states. They don't realize they lose power. We would have a lot more freedom in this country if the Bill of Rights were limited to the federal government. We would decide the votes for gay marriage for and against would be binding then. Well, we would decide whether you could pray in your public school. And in some cases, you'll like the answer. In some cases, you won't like the answer. But you get to decide.
Well, David, to try to clarify this for our listeners here today, you say that the Supreme Court rewrote the First Amendment. Yep. Now, literally, there is not a rewriting of it. And so, am I correct? In other words, they rewrote it without writing it literally down. It's just the way they are interpreting it and practicing
exactly.
It. Is that correct?
Exactly. That is correct.
Okay. And is this taught in law school?
Oh, yes. This is the most powerful lie taught in law school.
Okay.
That the Bill of Rights apply to the states.
Okay.
That is numero uno. That makes the Supreme Court more powerful than the president and all the Congress in terms of issues involving religion, in terms of free speech, in terms of anything to do with a criminal trial.
Okay.
They have more power than the president and the Congress combined.
Well, and of course, that's unconstitutional because they are to be equal branches of the government. Here's the point. We've got just about 3 minutes to bring this to a conclusion. How do we correct that? I mean, I've been told, and of course, you're an attorney, you've gone through law school. I've been told that many schools, many universities where they have a law school, they don't actually teach constitutional law. They just teach case law. Is that correct?
Correct. That is absolutely correct. In other words, what that means, ladies and gentlemen, is that when they teach the First Amendment, guess where they start?
With certain
cases. Do they start in 1789? No. They start in 1940. In most law schools, the only thing a lawyer knows is what the Supreme Court did from 1940 onward.
Okay.
What happened 150 years earlier dies.
Okay, now we've got to bring this to a point here, to a head here. Just 2 minutes. What is the solution? How do we get this back on track, David?
Well, I can tell you right now, it's not good. It's like pulling teeth from a shark.
Well, you've got a minute and a half to tell us.
The Supreme Court does not want to give up this power. These people are a super legislative branch. They have more power in certain areas than the Congress of the United States.
But how do we get them in line with their power?
The only way you can do it is to educate the public so that they see that when they are told that the Bill of Rights protects them, what it really is, it's a give me the power card to the Supreme Court. They don't understand that they have lost power.
So what,
they think they've gained power.
So what you're saying is that Mr. and Mrs. Joe and Sally America need to understand the Constitution, get to learn it,
yes,
and demand that those in government in all three branches rule according to our law of the land, the Constitution.
Gary, let me jump in here. And
that's
David,
correct. That is correct.
Let me ask this, David New. How important then is it that someone like Judge Roy Moore in Alabama, who understands this, how important is it that he be elected to the United States Senate, a seat he's running for to fill the seat vacated by Jeff Sessions? It's critical we get people like this in the Congress of the United States, is it not?
David, you've got a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in Alabama, please, I recommend Judge Roy Moore. He is a great man of God. Please vote for this man. If it's permitted, vote for him as often as you can.
Vote often and vote early, but get.
There you go. David, let me ask you this, because I'm going to have Gary pray, but before he prays, you have written books that deal with this topic. Tell our listeners where they can go to get these books and arm themselves with the very knowledge you're talking about.
Well, there's one book that deals directly with this issue. It's called The First Amendment and the Bill of Rights for Beginners, and you can get it on Amazon.com. Eventually, it's going to be put on the American Pastors Network. But also, this issue will be covered in my latest book coming out later this year called The Separation of Church and State for Beginners, and I cover this issue in great detail in that book.
And where can they go to get them?
It'll come out. Well, they can get the First Amendment and the Bill of Rights, and that's discussed right there on Amazon.com. The one that's coming out later this year, the first is called the Separation of Church and State for Beginners. That will be out by the end of the year.
Gary, take us to the throne of grace in prayer and pray the truth will be disseminated so that people can understand and defend their liberties appropriately.
Father, our Constitution and our nation was founded upon biblical truth. I pray that you'll lead us back to that, and I pray that every citizen in this nation will seek the truth of what our Constitution stands for and uphold it in every element of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, friends, we've pulled teeth out of the shark today. That's what David said, trying to reverse this is doing, but it's worthwhile effort. You keep tuning in to Stand in the Gap today. Join us again on Monday for our next installment and Venture into Truth. Till then, stand up where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.